2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, and everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. And he went there to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was. Those are powerful words. Just so happened. Kind of fell out that way. So it was. That while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let me preach to you just a little while before you head off to serve this mighty Savior that we have sung, we have worshiped, and today we will preach about. Let me preach this to you. I wish you a very messed up Christmas. I wish you, this is from the bottom of my heart, I wish you a very messed up Christmas. Would you lay your Bibles down, lift your hands to heaven? Let's ask the Lord just to speak to us right now. Father, we thank you, Lord, for everyone that is gathered in the house of the Lord. We thank you for all of our online guests that are clicked into our service here today. We pray, Lord, God, all of us together, we need to hear from you. We need to hear your voice. And I pray, Lord Jesus, you would speak to us. Take these feeble attempts, God, that we have at worshiping you and preparing your word. And God, just speak to us your infallible word. Let it explode in the hearts of everybody that will receive it today in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Clap your hands to the Lord and let's praise him for his word this time. For his word. If God's word's ever been good to you, if it's ever been true, give him praise for it right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord bless you. You've been standing well. Thank you for being so patient. You can be seated. Now, I'm about to ask a stupid question. Has anybody ever had a bad day? Would you raise your hand? We've got some believers that I believe that today may have been that day. I don't know what happened to you this morning, but I'm here to tell you the Lord is going to make it better. Amen. I mean, literally, you thought to yourself, you know, this one's wasted. We're just throwing this one out. I mean, I didn't get what I wanted to get done. Nothing went right. You know, insert here all of what went wrong. And the only hope that was left, you know, to coin a phrase this season was, I just hope for a silent night. Anybody? Just give me a silent night, because this day did not work. I don't know if it's just me, and maybe it is. Sometimes preachers preach from their pain, and if it is, I apologize. But it seems to me this Christmas is a little bit different this year, or maybe like other Christmases in the past. There's a sense of struggle in the air this Christmas. I know things are much different in our world this year. Money is tight. People are strained. Every time you go to any sort of media outlet, you watch anything, you listen to anything, they're talking about the economy, they're talking about inflation. I'm so sick of hearing that word, inflation, and then I'm sick of going to the grocery store and feeling it. Amen? So it just seems like Christmas is just a little, is anybody with me? Anybody feel like I do? It's just a little bit strained this year. Is anybody here today dealing with Christmas stuff, Christmas plans? Family that's not going to show up, and you thought they were. And family that can't show up. They wanted to come, but they're not going to be able to come. I know in this house, especially just from yesterday, there are some people here that have even lost family this year, and even in recent years. And it is never going to be the same as it's been in the past. And for all the rest of you, if you've ever had, I don't know if this exists, but if you're a person and you've ever had the perfect Christmas, I mean, everything was right. Everything turned out right. The turkey, the ham, the presents, the kids, the in-laws, it all went well. Everybody, there were no fights or no discussions. Everything was beautiful. All I'm going to tell you is hold on to that. Hold on to that memory. Save all the video. Save all the pictures because you may never see it again. Because Christmas gets messed up easy. It's easy to mess up Christmas. There's so many factors. There's so many people. There's so many personalities. And of course, we on our own make it so complicated. We set our own expectations about what it's supposed to be and how much it's supposed to be and how great it's supposed to be. And we have all these ideas, sometimes because of things that have gone right in the past, that we're just going to duplicate this year. How many of you save decorations? Nobody. Okay, there's liars in here. Let's deal with lying first. You save decorations. You've got totes at home. You've got totes or some sort of containers. You save them. Why? Because you are trying to recreate. You say, oh, I'm being efficient. No, really what you're doing, you're trying to recreate. You found something you like, and you're trying to recreate what that looks like, what Christmas looks like. We make it complicated. And all I'm going to say is that's okay. It's okay because the first Christmas, the first one was far from what we would call perfect. In fact, it was far from what anyone involved with it would call perfect. I'm here to tell you, here's my whole message. You ready? The first Christmas was really messed up. It had a whole lot of problems. The Christmas story is a story of everybody's plans getting changed and everybody's intentions getting rearranged and everybody's thoughts and everybody's plans absolutely turned on their head. Almost nobody's life turned out the way that they originally thought it was going to happen. And that's because, listen to me today, God can mess up your plans. That's right. I just said that. We thought that was the devil's work. We thought that's what Satan did. We thought that's what people did. But I'm here to preach to you, and some of you are like, what? Are you kidding me? Yes, I'm telling you, God is actually pretty good at messing up your plans. For Mary and Joseph, I want you to consider for just a minute. Don't forget, they were just a young couple. We got young couples. I thought of Kyle and Ashley. You know, they're just newly married just this year. They're still trying to figure out God love them, God bless them, and God help them, right? And we got all these young couples that are here, beautiful couples that are trying to figure out marriage. And they got so many plans. Oh, I know what we're going to do. We're going to have 4.5 children. We're going to make this amount of money. And then here's when we're going to have children and all these things. It's so cute. So cute how they plan things out. And I've got to believe that that's exactly what Joseph and Mary, that's exactly the life, that's what they were involved in. That was exactly the life that they were planning. They were another couple in Judea. They were another couple in Nazareth. They're just getting together. He liked her. She liked him. And however all that came together, they were engaged and they had plans to build a life. All they wanted to do was to get married, settle down, have a home, start a family. But God walks in and says, new plan. New plan. Mary, number one, it's actually a three-part plan. Number one, Mary, you're going to get pregnant before the wedding. And one more thing, it's not going to be by Joseph. Second part of my plan, this gets a little bit more complicated. It's going to be a miracle. There's probably something in her that said, thank God. It's going to be a miracle. And it's never been done before, and it's never going to be done again. We're going to call it a virgin birth. And number three, by the way, the child that you'll be carrying, it's going to be God. Really? That's the plan. I thought we were going to just have this beautiful family, but now we see just as they are adjusting, they have to go to his hometown. You don't think that caused a fight at Christmas? Got to go be with his family? Can you imagine the fight there? Why your family? And he's saying, look, the government did it. I did it. There's a tax that so happens to come, and so it was. that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. To make things worse, the baby comes when they're on this unexpected trip with these unexpected plans, and she brings forth her firstborn son. They don't have a place to stay. Anybody with me? This is going off the rails. They don't have the place to stay. They don't have nowhere to go. They end up in a stable because it's the only shelter available. They're not prepared to have a baby. They find dirty old rags. They find a feeding trough, and they lay them all there. This is not most likely the way that Joseph and Mary decided that they were going to start their lives together. I'm just trying to tell you, anybody with me? God really messed up their plans. I read that story, I feel sorry for these kids. I mean, I thought we had it hard, you know. I worked at Walmart. My wife didn't have a job when we got married. I've told that story, and I've said, man, we were in sad shape. We were in great shape compared to Joseph and Mary because God messes up plans. Now, let me be very careful here today and tell you that not all that is bad that happens to you is God's will. Can I say that again? Not every negative thing that happens to you is God's will. And here's how I know that. Because we make stupid decisions. Somebody say amen. Come on, is anybody here with me? You've ever done something stupid and said, God, why am I in this mess? And God's like, well. Because we make bad decisions about our bodies, about our brains, about our behavior. And those are not God's will. Sin is not God's will. The after effect of sin is not God's will. The sin that was born into this world that every man is born into is not God's will. There are some things in life that are the result of broken humanity. And the whole reason why Jesus came. Cancer is not God's will. Alzheimer's, disease, not God's will. Murder, rape, they're not theft. They're not God's will. Prejudice, not God's will. They're all a result of the brokenness of humanity. They happen because there is sin. And that's why, incidentally, we pray, oh, Jesus, oh, Father, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. That's why we pray we need Jesus here on earth. Is there anybody that agrees that we could use a whole lot more Jesus here on earth? That's why he came down. But God does intervene. And he does mess up plans just like he did for Joseph and Mary. The Bible tells us this truth, that you can make plans, but the Lord's purpose is going to prevail. I mean, go ahead, make all the plans that you want to. Decide how many kids you're going to have. Decide what you're going to do. Decide your plans for Christmas. Decide your plans for 2023. Get it all laid out. Put it in a notebook. Make sure there's nothing left unclear or undone. But just understand this. You make plans, but the Lord's plans prevail. And when he decides to mess up your plans, heaven's not going to stop him. Hell's not going to stop him. And if those two can't, you definitely can't. There's a truth you can count on, though. Listen to me. For all of you like, that doesn't sound too good for me. Listen, here's a truth you can count on. That when God starts messing, it's because he's trying to bless. Every time God is messing, it's because he's trying to bring blessing. God doesn't stand up in heaven, Brother Johnny. He doesn't stand up in heaven and look at your life or look at your life, Darren, or you're a Sandra and say, you know what? I'm going to throw them a curveball. Let me see what they do with this. God's not some sick psycho in heaven. He's always got a plan and a purpose. So when you can discern that God's messing with your plans, there's a truth you can count on, that when he gets done, it's going to be awesome and it's going to be better than anything that I planned for myself. Somebody say amen. See, sometimes God messes up our plans just to get our attention. And man, sometimes does he have to really mess things up to get our attention. I heard a quote this week that said this, that God whispers to us in our pleasure, but he shouts to us in our pain. Let me ask you a question today. Are you too busy for God to tell you something? Are you too consumed with what's going on around you for God to speak to your heart? Are you too distracted? Here's a really tough one. There's a lot of blessed people in here. Are you too well off for God to be able to speak to your heart and change your plans, or more importantly, change your mind. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm the preacher. I got to give you some bad news here today. God, if he wants to, he will get your attention. And he will use any means possible to make sure that his voice is heard. Joseph, the Bible says, was a just man. He was a good guy. He wasn't some jerk just kind of doing his own thing. He was a just man. And he found out about Mary, and this was a problem for him. It was a stain on his reputation. But even in his goodness, he decided in his grace, he said, I don't want to make a public example of her. And just privately, I'll just kind of sweep this under the rug just to avoid any kind of circumstance or stain upon her reputation or mine. But the Bible says that when he thought on these things, that God interrupted. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, don't do what you're getting ready to do. Don't fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son. Joseph, don't abort what I'm about to bless you with. She's going to bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he'll save his people from their sins. And Joseph rose up from sleep, and he did what the angel told him to do. Can you imagine the pain? Can you imagine the pain a man would feel? Can you imagine the pain, the embarrassment that it caused not only him but Mary? Listen, for you, God doesn't have to send an angel. These days, all you've got to do is listen, and he'll speak to you. He'll speak to you through your conscience. He'll speak to you through your word. He'll speak to you through a preacher. He'll speak to you through a song. He'll speak to you through a moment. God is always, I'm convinced, God's always talking. The problem is not that God is silent. The problem is we don't listen. We're not very good listeners when it comes to listening to him. Instead of listening to God, we're talking all the time. We're telling God what he ought to do. We're telling God what he ought to. We're telling him what his word ought to say and how it ought to be interpreted. And when we're not talking, we're listening to something else. We're listening to media. We're listening to the radio. We're listening to television. We're listening to reading Facebook and we're Instagram and all this social media. We're listening to all these voices that are trying to speak and vying for our attention. Here's what I'm telling you, I'm wondering at this Christmas if it's not the case that we are so busy that God can't get through to us to tell us about what's going on in our life. Now, you may sit there and say, now, Pastor, I've never heard the Lord saying to me. Here's my question. Is there an open line for him to use? Anybody got a phone? I didn't bring my phone up here today. You got a phone? Take your phone out. Has anybody ever looked at your phone? Anybody ever been on the phone and got a call? That should be all of us. I can't imagine anybody not having that experience in their life in 2022. You ever got on the phone and you look down? Now, if you've got an iPhone, I don't know what it is, an Android, but if you've got an iPhone, you've got options. Isn't that wonderful? I love options. You got options. Here's what you do. First of all, you can hang up the first call and take the second call. Okay? That's one option. The next option is that you can, I don't know if you know this, but there's a really cool button. You can merge the calls. You could take call number one, and you can merge it with call number two and talk to both people at the same time. Isn't that convenient? Isn't that awesome? I love technology. And then option number three is you could do what most of us do. You could just ignore it. Just ignore it. Don't even give it the time. I'll take it to voicemail, which I will never listen to until maybe if I, like, delete all my voicemails and say, what was this? Oh, it was from 3 months ago. It doesn't matter, right? So you can take the call and hang up the other call. You can merge the call, and you can ignore the call. Now, here's the thing. There are some calls, some voices in your life you need to hang up. There's some things in your life you just need to kind of get rid of. There's some things, it's like if you've got the choice, God or this, it is not even a choice. You need to listen to what God is saying, and you need to hang up. And what are those things? Well, I'm going to leave that to you. I don't have time to preach to all of what's going on in you today. There's a lot of people here. But something tells me that when I said that, something came up in your mind. There's a lot of folks that know exactly the things that need to be cut out of their life. You know what's damaging you. You know what's hurting you. You know the things that take you away from God versus the things that move you towards God. So some of you just need to hang up what's going on, and you need to pick up and listen to what God is saying.
There's others, folks, and listen, the other option is merging. There's some things that they're not bad. You just need God in it. And God's saying, look, while you're making all these plans and while you're doing all these things, how about you merge me into that? Because I've got something to say about what's going on in your life. I've got something to say about that ministry. I've got something to say about that problem. I've got something to say about that marriage. There's some of us that just need to merge calls that God's trying to speak. And if we'll just merge him into what's going on, we'll find out the word of God has got a lot to say about what's going on in our lives. We've got a lot to hear from God about what's going on in our lives. The worst thing we could do is just ignore it. Psalms 81, the Lord speaks and said, oh, that my people would listen to me. Oh, that Israel, and Israel's a type and shadow of us and the church. Oh, that my church, my people would walk in my ways. I'm just trying to tell you that sometimes your plans are not messed up because the devil's working. Your plans are not messed up because people are working. Your plans are messed up because God's working and he's trying to get your attention. There's other times that God messes up our plans because he's just got a better plan. Your plan stinks. Your plan's not going to work. I don't care how peaceful it looks. I don't care how well it looks. I don't care how much you like it. I don't care how much it's been proven in the past. I don't care. Say, oh, my friend Joe over here, he did it and it worked wonders for him. I'm just going, it's a pattern I've seen before. I don't care. If it's not God's plan, it's not the right plan. Let's get this straight. Let's get one thing straight here. As messed up as it was, as incredibly chaotic as Christmas was, the first one, nobody can argue this. It's undisputed. It worked. I got five amens. Everybody say amen. Christmas worked. The Savior came. The Savior stirred the dust of this planet. The Savior went to Calvary and died. The Savior bled for the redemption of man. We've got salvation today because Jesus came. I don't care how crazy it looked. The fact of the matter is, when God got done working, everything was fine. And the reason why we can have peace on earth is because in the middle of what men called chaos, God pulled out truth and salvation and light. Look at somebody and say, Christmas worked. So all I'm saying is his plan is way better than yours. Jeremiah 29 says, God says this. This is what he thinks about us. I know what I'm planning for you. I have good plans, not bad plans, good plans for you. Not plans to hurt you, but plans to give you a hope and a future. There's three things you could count on God's plan. Number one, it's always bigger. Number two, it's more rewarding. And number three, it's better. Mary and Joseph's plan said, let's just get married, let's have babies, let's settle down. God says, no, I got a bigger plan than that. Got a way bigger plan than you just building a nice, cute little family here in Nazareth. I'm going to use you to bless the entire world. That's a bigger plan. You go with your plan, you sell yourself short. You go with your ideas, you do less, you are less, and you accomplish less. But when you do God's plan, you do more, you are more, and you accomplish more. It's more rewarding. This world is full of people that are ruining themselves and ruining the culture of humanity because they're searching for significance. They're searching for purpose. They're searching for satisfaction. And all of that is leading many people to unfortunate places that don't bring those things to them. If only we could trust God for our significance. If only today somebody could change their mind and say, my validation is not in the good goosebumps that I feel on the inside, but it's in the power of the truth of God in his word and what he does in my life. Because here's what I can tell you. Your mind would be blown if you knew all what God wanted to do in you. You couldn't handle it. That's why he can't tell you right now. That's why he can't mess with that right now. That's why it looks like chaos right now. Mary and Joseph, I know this is pain. I know this is embarrassment, but I'm telling you, something powerful is coming out of this. You wouldn't even have an idea of all of what this is going to do. It's going to do more than just affect you. It's going to do more than just affect Israel. It's going to do more than just affect the Jewish people. It's going to affect the entire world. It's going to affect every human being on the planet. wouldn't believe what God has in mind. This is why it would move Paul to write, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it even entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared. Listen, he prepared. Look at somebody next to you and say, he's got stuff prepared for you. Tell him. It's not even entered into our minds what God has prepared for them that love him. Because God intends to reward. He intends to bless. He intends to use. And he intends to fulfill you. But the truth of the matter is this. Of all the things about God's plan, it can be just a tad harder than yours. Because here's the truth. Don't we do this? We make easy plans. I mean, there's a couple of you driven people that just say, let's do it the hard way just because we can. But most of you are like me and say, what's the easiest way? What's the most efficient way? What's the way that I can do it that I feel the least amount of pain? And for most of us, that sounds really logical and really smart. But the truth of the matter is that some of God's plans are hard. Wasn't this hard? I mean, if you were doing it, no lightning here, but if we were doing it, wouldn't we choose a different way? Wouldn't we do something different? It was hard. It was pretty hard, I'm guessing. Ladies, you tell me. To face 9 months of criticism and gossip. I mean, you got this unmarried woman. She pulls her friend and said, you're not going to believe this. I know I'm engaged to Joseph, but I'm pregnant. And I'm still a virgin. What would you do, ladies? If your friend came to you and told you that, you'd like, whatever, Mary. Did you believe if a friend told you that? So she put up with constant criticism and gossip of people that did not understand her purpose and did not understand how God was messing her plan. And then before she delivers, she has to go to Bethlehem to take the census. So on the day before she goes, of course, that's when the baby decides it's going to come. And I don't know anything about this. Jessica, I thought about you, dear. I know you're just about to be delivered. Hallelujah. I envisioned Jessica on a donkey. I did. And I said to myself, I don't think that would have happened for Jessica. I don't know. Ladies, would that be hard, 9 months pregnant? Right? So how do you know she rode on a donkey? Because Joseph would have been dead if he didn't at least have a donkey. That's why. And then the baby decides to come. They don't have any place to go. It's painful for Mary. It's painful for Joseph. Painful for her to deliver her first baby by herself instead of with all her aunts and her family and the women in her family gathered around her. Nothing but cows and chickens and donkeys. But God's plans are better, even if they're harder. Can I say it again? God's plans are better, even if they're harder, because they're bigger and they're more rewarding. So what do you do when God messes up your plans? I'm going to tell you, it's very simple. It's right here in Christmas. Christmas teaches us this. You just make the best of it. That sounds trite. That sounds just simple. That sounds dismissive. But I'm telling you, that's what they did. They looked at all this difficulty. They looked at all this pain. They looked at all this chaos. And they held on to the voice of the angel, the voice of God, the truth of what God had spoken to them and said, I don't understand this. I don't want this. I didn't ask for this. But here we go. I'm going to walk through this. Because God's plan is bigger than I understand. God's plan is better than what I understand. Even if God's plan is harder than what I understand. They made themselves as comfortable as possible in the chaos that they were in. In that old stable, they found old rags. They wrapped the baby up in what they had instead of lamenting about what they didn't have. They put him in a feeding trough to lay him down when their arms got tired. They walked through it and they made the best of it and they trusted God. And you know what's neat? What's neat is that their best in what looked like their worst became God's roadmap for someone else to find Jesus where he was. Because when the angels walked to the shepherd and said, you're going to know you found him. You're going to know you found him. And what they thought was just like little old things hanging around that they were making the best of. He said, shepherd, you're going to know you found the Savior if you find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Listen, we think that as Christmas, but it was crazy to think a baby would be wrapped in rags. But he said, you'll know the Savior. You'll know you found him if you find him wrapped in rags and laying in a manger. All I'm telling you is, I don't care how hard it is, honey, when God does the work and when God's plans are working in your life, he'll work it all out for your good. You just don't know what God is creating in the middle of what you're calling confusion. So much of Jesus' life and ministry and even death was people looking at him and saying, hey, that's not how you do it. He even as a child, a 12-year-old child, his very parents, who probably should have maybe known better, they left him at the temple. They were new. They were, you know, just working it out. They weren't the best parents. All right? I've left my kids at restaurants before. Should I have admitted that? I probably shouldn't have admitted that. Bible says they left him at the temple. And they said, don't you know you should have been with us? And he said, don't you know? Been about my father's business. The law would say to everybody around, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. Jesus said, no, I'm not going to do it that way. You love your enemies. You bless them that hate you and curse you. His friends came and said, your best friend Lazarus, he's sick unto death, and you've got the power to heal him. The Bible says he waited. He waited until he knew Lazarus was good and dead, and he went and he raised him up. All his ministry, all his time on earth, people were saying, that's not how you do it. But listen, when Jesus does it, he does it right. That's why we've got to celebrate this Christmas what's present and not what's absent. We got to celebrate what's now and certainly not what is past. We got to celebrate what's right, not what's wrong. Celebrate what's fixed in the middle of even things that are still broken. Because if you don't, you could thwart God's plan sometime. You're trying to recreate what he used to do or what you thought he was going to do. Trying to fix what looks broken to you when he's trying to use the brokenness and make it work for you into something new and something great. Mourning over what's not there, instead of valuing what is right in front of you. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, let's be like Joseph and Mary. I don't understand everything that might be going on in Christmas in every life in this place, but here's the advice I can give you. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. That's what they did. They just walked through it, and they trusted God, and they obeyed. And in the end, here we are sitting in 2022, and we've got the power of salvation available in our life because two people said, I'll make the best of it. I don't care how chaotic it looks. I don't care how much confusion seems to be around me. God's plans, they're bigger, they're better, even if they're harder. Would you stand with me here this morning? More than all of that. More than all of that. I think we must value his presence. If you don't do anything this Christmas, would you please value his presence? We need more presence this Christmas. I'm not saying more presence as in gifts. I mean more presence as in God. The Bible tells us that God's presence was so valuable to Moses that he declared, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with me, I will not go. I will not take a step if your presence, if you're not involved and what's going on. David, he made lots of mistakes, right? Delve into his life. He's got marks against him like murder and adultery, cover-up, scandal, all kinds of different mistakes. And when he finally repents of all of it, here's what he says. My greatest fear is not that my reputation is tainted. It's not the embarrassment of being found out. David's greatest worry is, Lord, please don't take your presence from me. Here's, cast me not away from your presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So here's what I would advise today. Seek him this Christmas. Jeremiah 29 says, "And you shall seek me and find me. And when you search for me with all your heart." When we search for him with all of our heart, the promise of the word of God is you will not come up empty-handed, but you will find him. There's a beautiful psalm that I'll end with today, and it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore." That's what God intends for us, to come into his presence this morning, to come into his presence this Christmas and have the fullness of joy, to have the fullness of his goodness and his mercy. I wonder if there's anybody, before you go serve, before you go and you show the love of God, would you want to come around an altar today and step into the presence of God? Maybe there's plans right now that are being blown up all around you. Listen, don't you worry a bit. God's got everything. He's got everything in the palm of his hands. It's not the devil. It's not people. It's God messing things up to put things in order to accomplish his purpose. Come on, as we worship, let's pray. Let's seek his face and get in his presence.